Hey, man, beloved. Last week's 9.0 earthquake and resulting tsunami that hit the island nation of Japan is among many calamities in the world today. Can I get a witness? These calamities are afflicting nations all over the world. The earthquakes killing thousands and destroying cities are among the calamities our Lord Jesus foretells of in these last days. Scripture is clear. Every calamity that comes upon the earth is either specifically brought or permitted by God. Is that all right, church? Nothing happens on this planet without His permission. Amen. So the question is asked, isn't He a loving God? Why would He allow calamities if He's a loving God? And we respond and we say that God has displayed His great love for man through the cross of His Son and has had the good news about it proclaimed nearly 2,000 years now. Can I get a witness to that? Even now, God's heart of love is to save in calamity. However, the world's stubborn refusal to believe the gospel continues to intensify. Therefore, God intensifies the severity of warnings through calamity that will finally lead to the full outpouring of His wrath. Wrath, because the God of love is also holy and just. He, in His holiness and justice, demands retribution upon and death to sinners. I know that the world don't like to hear that, and many Christians don't like to hear that either, because we like to think of God as a great grandfather in the sky who all He does is ride you on His knee all day long and fawn all over you. But that's not God. Come on, somebody. If we're gonna know God, we must know Him as He presents Himself, not as we want Him to be. Come on, somebody. And so God is love, and He loves man deeply, so much so that He sent Christ to die for us. Would you send your child to die for somebody that wouldn't even be thankful for it? No. And even if they was thankful, you wouldn't send your child, would you? But God sent His only begotten Son. Come on, somebody. That whoever would believe in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So God has made His statement to the world. He doesn't have to do not one more thing to demonstrate to the world that He loves the world. Come on, somebody. And so we want to make clear that God is not apologizing for the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, or the earthquake that hit New Zealand, or the earthquake that hit Haiti, the earthquake that is hitting in the islands of the sea, the storm that destroys even in our nation. Come on, somebody. There's no apology, and we don't have to apologize for God. Let not one saint apologize for God, because He's already warned the world that His wrath is coming. Am I right about it? Amen. So the fact that He hasn't destroyed the whole thing yet is still His grace and mercy on display. There's still time for somebody to get right today. Come on, somebody. If they will not harden their hearts. Because the scripture says, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart, as Israel did in the wilderness and wandered there for 40 years. Come on, somebody. God is merciful. God is loving, but God is also holy and just, and His holiness and His justice demand the death of the sinner. So to the extent that we're saved in here today, we ought to be rejoicing, because even if an earthquake hits right now and destroys this and we all perish in it, we haven't eternally perished, have we? Only these bodies have temporarily been put to death. But we knew that that was the consequence for sin all along. Is that right? And for us, God has turned death not into a consequence, but into a liberation. Is that all right? We are liberated from this body of death and translated immediately, before you can blink an eye, into the presence of our God, where we await the resurrection from the dead. So then, has death finally been an undefeatable enemy for us? No, but in the resurrection of Christ, we have proof and evidence that God has power even over death. Give him praise and glory in his house today. And he is our assurance that our hope is not in vain. Come on, somebody. Because if he raised Christ from the dead, he promises that he also shall what? Raise us who believe in him from the dead. And so I want to bring you, as the saints of God today, a word of encouragement. Because God is not unaware that his judgments through calamity impact his faithful, the righteous of the earth. And so what is his counsel to us? How many know God loves us enough that he would even give us counsel in a time of trouble, in a time of evil? Come on, somebody, when calamity is all around us. And the good news is he's given us that counsel, and it's right here in his word. You don't have to wonder if Pastor Kelly's really hearing from God or not. If this word of comfort and encouragement, you can see it for yourself. Turn in the Bible to Isaiah chapter 3 and find verse 10. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. And when you have it, please stand on your feet, because this is our text for today. Our message is entitled, A Word to the Righteous When Judgment Comes. A word to the righteous when judgment comes. And our objective in the message is to bring a word of comfort from the Lord to his faithful as he brings judgment upon the earth. And here is the word of the Lord to you today. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Isn't that a good word from God today? Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Now, beloved, I tell you, I cannot say every time I bring you a message on Sunday that it was something that God spoke directly into my ear. But I tell you, as God is my witness, this very week, when I called upon the Lord for what word he would have me to bring to his people today, he spoke this word into my heart. Amen. And I went and looked it up in the word, and sure enough, there it was, Simon. There it was. Now, I've seen it many times before studying the word. Amen. I mean, there are times God can speak a word into your spirit that you recognize it because you've seen it before. Come on, somebody. You know it's biblical. And so I immediately set my heart to find it because I knew I'd heard it before. And there it was. And there it is. Say to the righteous that it will be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. A word to the righteous when judgment comes, you may be seated. Before we even preach it, it's a good word, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Here's our first point. God's word to the righteous in context. We want to look at it in context and what else is going on in that third chapter of Isaiah. And so to do that, we want to back up to verse 1 to put this in context. And as you go there and take a look at verse 1, and we'll read it in just a moment, but the first thing we want you to realize is concerning the messenger. It's Isaiah the prophet, who prophesied in the 8th century B.C. to both Israel and Judah. Here he speaks to Judah and Jerusalem, as the context shows, Jerusalem as the royal seat of Judah. And verse 1 through 9 reads, For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power. And in that day he will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. Do you understand? If I may pause there for a moment and see why I'm afraid for our nation today. Because whenever you turn your backs on the Lord, can it ever be a good thing? And we're seeing here that the Jews are the apple of God's eye. And yet he's about to what? Judge them. Because what? They turned against the Lord. And it's not simply in word, but in deed, isn't it? See, folk like to think that just because they say something, that makes it true. But you can't cite God out like that. God looks at what you do. Come on, somebody. What you do supports what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. Come on, somebody. And he also does. So God was about to judge them because they, in their tongue and their doings, are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them. You know how sometimes you can look in somebody's face and see they're guilty? That's what God is talking about. And they declare their sin as Sodom. Now, when God's people in their sins get as wicked as Sodom, now you know that they're in bad shape. And we're just about like that in the church today. Come on, somebody. All manner of evil is going on in churches today. Can I get a witness? And look at this. They even get bold about it, as Judah did, because God says they do not what? Hide it. They don't even hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. And so this was not only, of course, concerning the religious establishment, but it was concerning all the whole nation of Judah. Very clearly, God is announcing a coming severe judgment on Judah that will throw the nation into collapse and chaos. Look at verse 11 and 12. We're talking about putting God's message to the righteous in context. Is it working for you, church? Amen. Is not God's message in verse 10 like a mountain rising high above a valley of despair? Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. My, my, my. God gives a serious indictment here, doesn't he? And he says to the wicked, judgment will not go well for them. The reward of their deeds will be given to them. You can deny there is a God all you want to, but he ain't going to never deny himself. You can say, I believe there's a God, but he's so loving, he'll never judge me. Go on, keep lying to yourself like that. Amen? Because I'm sure that the people in Japan today might beg to differ with you. Come on, somebody. And every nation on the face of this earth, God loves them. God loves them. God loves them. He sent Christ into the world to die for them. But he is only going to suffer only so long. Come on, somebody. And still, after 2,000 years, how many know we can still say God is long-suffering? But the same thing, I tell you, awaits our nation if we keep on the same track of turning our backs on God. Because the gospel has been over in that island nation for close to 400 years plus. The gospel has been preached there. And only 1% of the population is Christian. That means that somebody's not willfully listening. Are you hearing me, church? Now, you might have something to argue with me about if this happened to them and the gospel had never been there. But it's been there over 400 years. In the same way that the gospel's been in America, how long? Over 400 years. Come on, somebody. And we have the gall, the unmitigated gall, to shake our finger in the face of God and say, we don't want to serve you no more. We don't want to be up under your word no more. We want to come and go and do as we please, and we don't expect that you should say anything about it. And so, how many know our days are numbered? And unless God should tarry another 100 years, amen, I don't think that we have to wait too long to see a severe judgment come to our nation. Not because God delights in destroying, but we understand from his word that he tarries as long as he does because his aim, his heart, his desire is to what, church? Save. God desires to save. But if you're not going to repent, if you're not going to turn to him, then God is going to deal with you. Come on, somebody. So, God says to the wicked, it's not going to go well with you. And we need you to know that outside of Christ, every soul is under the curse of death for sin. Is that right, church? Living, then, is a gracious gift of God to give us time. Did y'all hear that? So many people live and act like it's their right to live. You don't have a right to live. It is by God's grace and mercy that you live. And he lets us live to give us time. How glad I am about that today. Time for what? Time to believe the gospel and what? Repent. Amen. For Judah and Israel, in that day, God had been sending them prophets for hundreds of years. Finally, in 722 BC, the Assyrians came and destroyed Israel, the northern kingdom. The Babylonians, beginning in 609 BC, came to Judah and destroyed it in 586 BC. So in verse 12, Isaiah chapter 3, God powerfully indicts the leaders of Judah, calling their rule childish and weak. Why? Because children and women ruled over them. And you can take that both literally and figuratively. Literally, because as you know, there was a series of boy kings in Judah. Come on, somebody. That started out as little boys when God judged their fathers. Am I right about it? And then there was even a time when there was a queen, Athalia, and I may not have it right, but there was a queen of Judah that killed all the royal heirs save one. Come on, somebody. He was hid out with the priest family. And she killed all the heirs so she could be queen. And hers was a treacherous rule. And finally, they took her on out of there. And her rule was weak, because it was weak in sin. Come on, somebody. Not just because she was a woman. But don't miss that point, that God's plan and program is for who to rule over his people. It's the men. Amen? And so when she rose up and did what she did, she really was stepping out of her place. And she knew that, and very powerfully, that's the reason that she went about in a treacherous way to establish her rule by killing all the royal heirs. But God protected one of them. Is that all right, church? And so by the time that the Babylonians were at the gate of Judah, the kingdom was indeed quite figuratively weak, because the kings were childish in sin and weak in sin. Or why did they throw Jeremiah down a cistern and try to beat him and run him off because he was telling them to repent because the Babylonians were coming? Come on, somebody. And so they demonstrated what Isaiah said 150 or so years before it happened, that by the time the judgment would come, it would be because God had taken away all the strong leaders. Come on, somebody. And they were weak. Now, second point, the prophet is told to speak directly to the righteous. The prophet is told to speak directly to the righteous. Look at the first part of verse 10. It says, say to the righteous. How many know that's speaking directly to the righteous? Say to the righteous. So God commands the prophet to speak specifically and directly to the righteous who always are his faithful ones. Can I get a witness? No matter how many or severe the calamities upon the earth, God remembers the righteous. He knows, if not directly, indirectly, we will be impacted by what he permits or does himself on the earth by way of calamity. But we are not to lose faith or hope because we understand our God is right and just to judge. Come on, somebody. We know he's right to judge. Don't we know that? And that ought to be a source of comfort to us. We certainly shouldn't be lined up with the world criticizing, talking about, well, if he is so loving, why did he do that? We know why he did it. And we don't celebrate or jump up and down the calamity that befalls the peoples of the earth. We shake our heads. We are saddened because we know that what has come upon them was God's just reward for their rebellion. And we hope and pray that others will get the message and repent and turn to the Lord before it's too late. Is that all right? And if there's any celebration at all, it comes from what we see, how God glorifies himself in the midst of the earth. It's appropriate for us always to celebrate the works of God. Come on, somebody. We ain't trying to put you down, but we're going to celebrate our God because, listen, God does this in part for us as well. Because we're out here on the front lines telling people what? Repent, repent, turn to the Lord. And they treat us like our God ain't real. So when he shows himself real through his judgments in the earth, that is a place where we celebrate and say thank you to the Lord for your support. Come on, somebody. Because the scripture says a strong support is the Lord in the earth. And he supports his people. And so we're able to point to that and say, you see how strong our God is. Bow down and what? Worship him. Turn from your idols. Turn from your wicked ways. And turn to the true and the living God and live. Is that all right, church? So that's the only sense in which we celebrate. We certainly don't celebrate in the suffering of others. We do not do that. But when our God triumphs in the earth, when he shows himself strong and mighty, yes, as his children, we say, yay, God. Yay, God, we appreciate your showing yourself mighty so that those that we witness to and those that we testify to can see that we have some real substance to what we're talking about the goodness and yet the severity of our God. If that's just right, give him praise in his house. So we should be greatly comforted that God is even thinking about us, even while he is planning and carrying out judgment on the wicked. Is that all right, church? Isn't it good to know God is thinking about you? Because remember, we just read 12 verses. Only one of 12 verses is directed at the righteous. Did you see that? All the other verses speak to judgment. But one verse, as if God is saying in the middle of it, he's thinking about us. He says, say to the righteous. Because he wants us to hear that he ain't forgotten about us. Come on, somebody. And when the things that he's speaking through the prophet are going to come to pass, he wants the righteous to be comforted. He doesn't want us to fret and worry and be concerned that he's spanking us too. No, he's not. But we may be impacted in some way by it. In fact, got news yesterday on the Christian World News program that a missionary over in Japan perished in the tsunami. So what do we think about that? Well, we think that God has warned us in advance that we are sheep for the slaughter. Come on, somebody. And that we might get caught in the crossfire every now and then. Is that all right? But if this man was truly saved, He just got a quick evacuation to heaven. That's all. Amen. He got there sooner than when he thought he was going to get there. Or don't you know that most of us, when we die, think we're leaving sooner than what we thought we were supposed to leave? Come on, somebody. Unless you're an elder laid up in the bed, been sick a long time, you've been praying and praying and praying, oh God, take me. And then finally we see that as a deliverance and we're ready to go. But if you're vigorous, even in as an elder, you're vigorous and full of life and energy and getting around good and all that, and God suddenly takes you. I mean, if you had a moment to think about it, you would say, wow, that's kind of soon, isn't it, Lord? Amen. So we have to be prepared any time for God to evacuate us from the planet. Is that all right? Because I tell you, whatever we may suffer now is nothing compared to what God is going to bring at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's when we get the evacuation from the planet. Amen? We get what they say, raptured. Is that all right? Before God turns up the flame. Because even on your stove, you have low, medium, and high settings, don't you? And points in between. I tell you, even what has happened to Japan and New Zealand and Haiti and other parts of the world, we still on low, y'all. Come on, somebody. We still on low. And medium is on the way, though. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Medium's on the way. And by the time high gets here, we'll be high, up on high, looking down, seeing what God is doing. Amen? Because he hasn't destined us to experience the full brunt of his wrath. Amen? But we have been destined for what? Salvation. Our final point today. The righteous are told by God, it will be well with them. Somebody say, it will be well with me. Verse 10 says further, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Did you see that? It shall be well with them. It's going to be ill with the wicked, but it's going to be well with the righteous. Aren't you glad that you're on the right team? Come on, somebody. God's word for the righteous is, it shall be well with them. The Babylonian invasion of Judah in 609 carried off thousands of the elite of Judah. Among them were the righteous, such as Daniel and Ezekiel. In Babylon, they were slaves, but they were alive and well, which demonstrates a point that I've been preaching for many years to our community, all the people grumbling and complaining about being slaves. Better to be a live slave than a dead man. Come on, somebody. And Ezekiel and Daniel were slaves in Babylon, but they were alive. And God used them mightily, even in Babylon. Can I get a witness? And we have the record of it here in the book, don't we? We got Daniel, don't we? And we got Ezekiel, don't we? These were men who were captives. They were taken in 609 by the Babylonians to Babylon, along with the elite of Judah. Is that all right? But many of those who were left behind until 586 were destroyed with the nation. Those that the Babylonians didn't kill, they took the little remnant that was left captive, or the rest were scattered to the foreign nations. But God fulfilled his word that they would not remain in the land. He said the land would vomit you out. Why? Because of their wickedness. Is that all right? And so God kept his word, and they were scattered, killed, or taken captive. But God provided for the righteous then, and he will provide for us now, including, if need be, an immediate evacuation to heaven by death. Is that all right? Because, again, I remind you in love that death for us is not the end. It is a beautiful transition for a whole new beginning in God. Is that all right? The fruit of the doings of the righteous are obedience to God's word and faithfulness to his cause. For us, that means in compassion, we continue to witness to the unsaved, to those that God says are the wicked until the very end. Is that all right? We continue, like Brother William, to keep on pressing to tell people, repent, get right, turn to the Lord, because we never know when our earthquake and tsunami is coming. And I use that figuratively to mean whatever the calamity may be. Come on, somebody. There was somebody that went to bed last night and had every intention to get up and go somewhere and do something today, died in their sleep. We don't know when the end is coming, do we? And truly, all those calamities are all about, as it concerns people dying, is that that was your time to die. But we all have an appointment with death, don't we? Amen. And for us as believers, no matter how it comes, it's God's way of saying to us, your time is finished here. Your work is completed. Come home. Amen? Anybody going to fight him on that? Nope. When he's ready, we got to go. But in the meantime, I'm going to work until he says time up. Come on, somebody. We must continue as believers and as a church to witness Christ to the wicked, that some might believe to the very end of their lives, or should I say until the end of our lives, and the end of this world as we know it. Because if you read the book of Revelation carefully, in that 16th chapter, you'll see that even right up and through when God is pouring out his wrath, he's still looking for people to repent. But the sad commentary of the scripture is there were none. Come on, somebody, that were willing to repent even in the face of God's severe wrath. They're still saying we're going to do it our way. And so God is just the judge, isn't he? Amen. And so if it's all like that, then to the end, as long as we have breath, we need to keep inviting people to know our God, who is indeed a God of love, but also a God of righteousness, justice, and holiness, who judges sin. Can I get a witness? And for us, beloved, if we are faithful to the end, our God will reward us with the joy of eternal salvation. And that's what we signed up for, isn't it? We're in this not to impress men, but to please our God, and he will reward us for being faithful. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that God has a word for the righteous in a time of judgment. Is that all right, church? Give him praise and glory in his house today.